Testimony by Scott Turo. Read by Robert G. Slade. At the age of 50, I had decided to start my life again. That was far from a conscious plan, but in the next 4 years, I left my home, my marriage, my job, and finally my country. These choices were greeted with alarm or ridicule by virtually everyone close to me. My sister thought I was still recovering from the deaths in quick succession of our parents. My law partners believed I had never adjusted to life outside the spotlight. My ex dismissed it all as an extended form of middle-aged madness. And my sons were alternately flabbergasted and enraged that their stolid father had become as flighty as a teenager just when they seemed to have found their own footing as adults. I ignored them all, because my life had crashed against the rock of a large truth. For all of my success, in looking back, I couldn't identify a moment when, at core, I had felt fully at home with myself. My exile to Holland and the International Criminal Court was not a guaranteed solution, but it was the proverbial door that opened as another one closed. What had actually appeared in my doorway was my law school friend, Roger Cluey. "Boom!" he screamed, and on his way to seize my hand, picked a path among the open cardboard boxes that blocked most of the floor in my corner office. For 3 days now, I had been sitting with a trash can between my legs, largely stalled in my efforts to move out. Effective January 1st, 2015, I had resigned as a partner at DeWitt Royster, where I had worked for the last 14 years, heading the firm's white-collar criminal defense practice. Someone with a more ruthless nature could have packed up in a matter of hours, but I found myself lingering over virtually everything I touched. Law books, desktop tchotchkes, photos of my sons at various ages, and dozens of plaques and pen sets and hunks of crystal I'd been awarded during my 4-year stint a decade and a half back as United States Attorney, the chief federal prosecutor here in Kendall County. Walloped by emotion and the force of time, I'd return from my memories to find myself staring down 40 floors at the snowy patchwork of the Tri-Cities and the thread of gray that was the River Kindle, frozen over in yet another lousy winter in our new climate of greenhouse extremes. "They say you've cashed out here," Roger said. "Retired before they threw me out," is more the truth of it. "Not their version. Your son's okay?" "From what they tell me, Pete's engaged now."
"You expected that," Roger said correctly. "What's with your personal life?" he asked. "Still enjoying the post-divorce fuckfest?"
"I think I'm past it," I answered, a more convenient reply than telling him I had never quite gotten started. Roger and I had met at Easton Law School more than 30 years ago. From there, Raj had entered the Foreign Service, acting as the legal officer attached to several embassies. For a while, I thought I knew what he was doing. Then his assignments in various hotspots like the Balkans, Afghanistan, and Iraq left him with duties he could never discuss. Over time, I'd taken it for granted that he was a spook, although I was never sure which agency he worked for. Recently, his story was that he was back at the State Department, although if you'd been using a diplomatic cover, I'm not sure you could ever renounce it.